Thanks for tuning in to Best Show Ever, a podcast presented by the Engler Theater. For this special holiday episode, we're bringing back our fabulous development director, Katie Roche, to talk a bit about The Arts in You, a new community-wide survey that will be made public in December 2021. The survey is a component of the Arts Access Initiative that's been created under the Strengthen, Grow, Evolve campaign. Katie's also going to fill us in on the new Engler Membership Initiative, Fellowship for the Future. Basically, sit back, relax, and prepare to get all riled up about the arts in Iowa City. Katie, always, excited to be chatting with you.
I always love talking to you. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Okay, let's get right into it because the people want to know, the people want an update. What's going on in Katie world? It's been quite a year. We last had you on the podcast in December of 2020.
Oh my gosh.
So it's been a spicy hot minute. And let's start with kind of a throwback to the Strengthen, Grow, Evolve conversation we were having. Let's talk about the Arts in Me survey. Can you explain what that is and what we hope to uncover?
Yeah. Well, back in December of 2020, I was probably still referring to it as, like, more broadly as the Arts Access Initiative, which mm-hmm. it's a part of that. But the study itself is something that we've given its own name of the Arts in Me because we wanted folks to understand what we were trying to do, which is really to understand how the people responding to this countywide survey that we're sending out, how the arts relate to their lives, how it relates to their children's lives, what they think is missing in our community, how they already are engaging with the arts, how they wish they could be engaging with the arts, and what those barriers for participation really are for them. It's pretty important information to get in hand for our organizations.
What are the kind of questions that'll be asked in the survey, like more concretely?
Yeah. So if people have kids living in their household, they're going to have a whole series of questions related to their understanding of how their kids are engaging with the arts. So, are they participating in curricular or co-curricular arts activities like band or orchestra? Are they taking art classes outside of school? Have they engaged with any of the Englert or film scenes, programming for families? And then for the adult respondents, as we're asking them about their engagement, we're really trying to find out, how they're engaging with the arts, right? So are they, it's beyond even just, are you seeing a movie at the Engler or film scene, or are you going to see a band at the Engler? We're really asking about all the ways in which they're engaging with arts programming and what's stopping them from engaging with it. I think probably for me, one of the most important questions we're asking them is the kind of the what's missing question, and who do you know about mm-hmm. that you think we don't know about? So we're really hoping to uncover some artists living in our community that maybe haven't been brought into the light as much, I always love hearing about incredible musicians and poets and writers that are here, and we just haven't shined a light on them yet.
Yeah, that's one thing I've learned from doing this podcast is in every little nook and cranny, there is someone doing something incredible. Yeah, there's so much there I'm excited to learn more about. What would it mean and what would it take for the survey to be successful, and what would that look like?
Yeah, so we have a minimum number of responses that we need, which is, it's a number that means that everyone listening to this, if you could please fill out the survey when it comes across your feet, and if you could please, send it out to people that you know, and even people that you maybe don't know very well, but folks that, you know, you think it would be important for them to respond. So maybe it's your new neighbors that moved here from Ecuador. Maybe it's your neighbors that just moved here for school, their students or their grad students. We're really trying to get a broad response from the public. And we understand that surveys distributed online are biased just automatically, right? So mm-hmm. we are going to be setting out in the spring and summer of 2022 to really bring together distinct groups of people to talk to them and talk them through the survey and get those answers. So we're going to be looking at distinct cultural and ethnic groups, different languages being spoken, and even people practicing different cultural and ethnic traditions to try to make sure that we have both qualitative information and that quantitative information that needs to be complemented with like real world stories. You know, I think we can make some assumptions, right? Like, you know, if people don't have transportation or they don't have money or they don't speak the language that marketing materials are being produced in, they're going to have a lot harder of a time engaging in the arts. So it's really, really helpful to have this information in a formal study to, you know, for us to use, but then we're just going to make it available to everyone. We just want everyone to be able to understand how they can improve the lives of everyone in our community with arts programming.
And do you know of this study or a similar study like this happening in our recent history at all?
This has been I came to the Englert with this dream 10 years ago, and it takes a long time to make things happen. Yeah. And at that time, I did not know of a study like this that had ever been done. There's been a lot of studies through the Americans for the Arts, the National Endowment for the Arts, and those tend to look at a little bit different things than this is looking at. Sometimes they look at like economic impact, you know, how much money does an arts patron spend on average when they buy a ticket to something? You know, are they going out for dinner? Are they going shopping beforehand? And that is really valuable information for arts organizations, but it's not distinct to our community, and it's not distinct to trying to remove barriers for access and really better serve people in our community. So I'm just thrilled that we're able to do this. You know, I proposed this to the Johnson County Board of Supervisors, and that really got the ball rolling. They helped to fund this, and then the Iowa City Downtown District was like, we want to help with this. And then the Obermann Center, the University of Iowa, and then of course, you know, all the donors to Strength and Grow Evolve helped to make this possible. So it feels like a really wide and important embrace of this work.
Ah, that is beautiful. What kinds of programs or community engagements do you think we could expect to see once we have the results of this?
Well, the survey itself, the Arts and Me survey, is a part of the larger Arts Access Initiative. So there's actually three components to that. And one of those components is done. So we already have that data. It's a 56-page technical report. And that studied the school districts within Johnson County. So, you know, this might sound funny, but, you know, we had an Obermann Center fellow take on this work, and it took, you know, 6 weeks of work to just put together this report that looks at the Iowa City Community School District, Solon Community School District, Clear Creek Amana School District, Lone Tree Community School District. Those are the four districts in Johnson County that are like completely in Johnson County. And taking the time to talk to the administration at each of those schools, find out what arts programming, curricular and co-curricular, so both within school and added on to school, that they're making available to their students, what goals they have for the future, and like who to even talk to. Like every school district's different. Like Iowa City Community School District's way bigger than like Lone Tree's school district. So like, you know, you're going to have just a different process. So this report really spells that out. And so when we publish this, you know, every arts organization that's like, well, how do I, like, I want to bring, you know, my puppet show to Lone Tree, because I really think like it's going to help teach kids about voter engagement, right? Like, that's awesome. Use the arts to inspire voter engagement. But like, it can be really, really hard to figure out your next steps. And it can be really demoralizing to try to navigate all these bureaucratic systems. So we're trying to take the guessing game out of that. So my hope is that report will get in everybody's hot little hands, and that all the arts organizations and artists and teaching artists are going to have a better shot at helping to enhance our educational system. And vice versa, I hope that it creates more opportunities for students to actually come to the venues. And I think it's really important that kids get an opportunity to sit in a seat at a show and have that experience of the lights dimming and being an audience member, whatever that event is, right? Whether it's a reading or a film or a performance. So that's one big outcome. We're also doing a zip code study, if that's not the sexiest thing I've ever said in my life, a zip code study. And that's just a really simple thing. Inglerton Film Scene, because this was a result of our capital campaign, we're going to just take a look at all of our data around tickets that we sold in the past and establish some baseline information about that, and then look at how results from both the survey and the school district study, how it's been utilized and how it affects whether we're lighting up new parts of that map. And it's also going to tell us what parts of the map we aren't lighting up. You know, what neighborhoods are mostly not coming to our venues? How can we reach out to neighborhood associations, people that live in those areas, and really more wholeheartedly work hand in hand with different parts of our community to invite them in? So that becomes a part of our institutional strategies, you know, the real work that we do in the world, because we're not just trying to sell tickets. We're more than just like places trying to sell tickets. Like we're places trying to build community and like make this a better place to live for everybody.
Right. Yeah. I love how it really comes at the issue from all angles, not only giving us more insight into what kind of programming, but how to make it easier for artists to get into the spaces that need more programming and make it easier for our community to get into the spaces where programming already exists. It's the whole kit and caboodle. That's what they say.
The whole kit and caboodle. And like, I think like when I think about the thing that's maybe most exciting to me is as we identify these artists who are living in our community that maybe we don't know about yet, what does it look like? You know, I always use this example, and I probably used it in December of 2020 when you had me on, but it's a really good example. Over 6% of our local population is of Sudanese descent. And I do not see Sudanese bands. I do not see Sudanese solo performers. You know, I just don't see programming that's reflective of this really big chunk of our population, right? And I was talking to my friend Eamon about this, and Eamon said, oh, Katie, you know, there's this incredible Sudanese musician that lives in Coralville, never plays here, but travels all over and to huge audiences playing. If they played here in Iowa City, Sudanese people here and from all over would come to see them. And I just thought, that's what I want to see. I want to see this person who lives here perform, be embraced by their local community of Sudanese folks, but then other people in the community who haven't had the opportunity maybe to experience that kind of music and develop a love of it and develop a better understanding of their neighbors. You know, I don't mean to like totally romanticize it, but I think this is like how it's done. Like, I think this is how like we get to know each other and how we make this place a better place to live.
Another thing I thought about as we were talking about this survey and its results is what a perfect time for us to have the Downtown Arts Alliance happening in the same moment Like, how powerful is that going to be when we're already sort of united, sharing information, sharing resources? Now we're about to have all of this other insight into our community that we can, you know, build out together.
Yeah, I don't know that, like, there's our arts organizations in this community have ever been better connected than they are right now. And, you know, that's, you're right. Like, that's really cool. And it's really important. And then we've got Riverside Theater's new space, like really solidifying the feeling of like a downtown arts district. I ran into someone the other day and they were like, I want an arts district. And I'm like, well, we're getting one. It is. It's happening.
Serious. Serious. I actually keep talking about this with my friends. I'm like, we're in a moment. We're having a moment.
Yes.
I'm so excited when it comes to arts in Iowa City.
It's a little bit of like, we're getting our renaissance. Maybe with like less plague this time. We already have a little bit of one. But like,
less. Yeah, I'll second that request as well. We'll be right back in conversation with Katie Roche after a quick word from one of our sponsors. Serving the Iowa City area, Martin Construction was voted Best Home Improvement Company by Little Village in 2019 and 2020. Martin Construction is here to improve your home and lifestyle, incorporating the best design, products, workmanship, service, and trade partners, and with the lowest impact on your personal and global environment. Visit them online at andrewmartinconstruction.com. Martin Construction, member of the Greater Iowa City Home Builders Association and Johnson County Affordable Housing Coalition. Let's talk about another new phrase for us at the Englert and for our community. It's called the Fellowship for the Future, and it's a new membership program which you help design. Can you talk a little bit about where the idea for this came from, who it's for, and what it means for our organization?
Yeah. So the Fellowship for the Future is our leadership level membership group. And, you know, we started looking at the future of the theater and realized that, and this is prior to like all of the challenges and disruptions of the pandemic really throwing everything for a loop. This was like us looking at like, you know, 3 to 5 years out and saying, we're going to need some pretty major support in order to make this transition from just being a venue, you know, selling tickets, having people come here and really digging in deeper into the work that we're actually doing, but maybe isn't how maybe our community understands us or even sees us. So in order to elevate that into more of the common understanding of who we are and be able to make that work even more successful, we need that investment. So, and the programmatic things I'm talking about are really like, you know, innovating our programs. We have to like, just like, be able to like maintain this beautiful historic building that even after the capital campaign investments, just in an ongoing way needs to be serviced, right? Like it's not cheap. And then we also have really big goals around diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. We don't want to just sit back and, you know, have whatever the trade wind blows our way be what we book, right? Like that's not our vibe. That's not how we want to roll. We want to be really deliberate about making sure that we're presenting diverse artists. And and that should not be an afterthought. That should be very much like part of the plan. And then, of course, our educational outreach initiatives, which was, you know, a part of the capital campaign, but it's really something that we've been doing for a long time that we really want to formalize. And we want to make sure that we're able to be take action from all the results of this big study, and be able to take that data and move on it and start implementing some things that we can achieve in this community. And that's all that put together is, I don't know, I kind of loosely call it community building, which maybe I need a better word for, but for me, that's why I do this work. That's why I work at the Engler, because I believe that's what we're actually doing. I think we're actually, because we're bringing people together. We're exposing them to new ideas, new art forms, new cultures, and that just expands people's worlds, makes their worlds less small. And then that makes them better people and makes the world a better place. So there I go again, romanticizing it. But
snaps over here.
But so the fellowship, we're asking folks to you know, go with us on this journey and invest in this, and you know, help us make sure that we've got great leadership at this organization through their investments. And you know, it's exciting because. There's people already stepping forward who are just really excited to support this. And it just inspires me every single day to have these conversations, because it really shows me that we're pushing in the right direction. People are saying, yes, like, yes, we want to see you be more than a venue. We want to see you be change makers. Mm. We trust you. So, I mean, and this is like, you know, not a small request. You know, people are giving $1,200 a year. They're giving $2,400 a year, $6,000 a year, $25,000 a year. I mean, it's significant. And you know, we also try to, you know, treat our fellows with love and give them some benefits back, because, you know, they're helping to open doors for access for marginalized and underserved people in our community. We also want to give them a little something in return for their kindness and their generosity. So, you know, people are getting passes to our festivals, tickets to events, and most of the fellows are really interested in helping to build the program. So they're like bringing like potential new fellows to shows, which is really cool to meet people who are coming to the theater with their eyes wide open and wanting to learn about it. They're not just there to see a band. They're like, what are you guys doing here? This is special.
Right. Yeah. It makes me think of outlining this level of dedication to our organization. You said you've waited 10 years to do this arts access survey. Having the capacity to make that dream come true for our organization, if we can continue to get the community backing that's needed to make more of those dreams come true, like, I can't even imagine, because it's like we're already starting to see what it looks and feels like when that begins to happen, and it is amazing. It feels so good. It feels like we're leveling up, and the people around us are leveling up. So yeah, to put this down on paper and be like, yeah, we're stepping up, and our donors are stepping up too. It feels good. It's giving me the warm fuzzies.
It's really cool. I have long admired other educational outreach programs and other communities around the country, and other ways that organizations have helped, you know, make their communities better places through their DEI efforts. And, you know, I knew that we would be able to do it eventually, but that we had to grow a little bit stronger. And, right. You know, the thing is, it's not like we weren't doing these things. I need to be really clear about that. We're putting more of an investment into this. We're trying to say, listen, we need to invest in this so that we can do this even better than we've been doing it, because this work has been embodied in every single person that's worked at these organizations forever. Mm-hmm. And to have dedicated staff, to have dedicated programs, more programs, you know, it's going to be incredible. I'm really pleased that we're here.
Well, my last question, which maybe this is redundant, we'll see. The last time we talked, our doors were closed. We had a long journey ahead of us before they opened, and now they're open and we're having shows and we're doing the dang thing. So now your job as a developer, what is your message to our patrons and to our donors moving forward now that we're beginning to see the light out of the pandemic, though certainly experiencing some struggles because of the economic downfall of it. But what is your message now to people who are interested in supporting the Englert?
You know, it's funny because you just made me think about 100 things at once with that question. But like the place that my head went was I used to, in the process of fundraising and inspiring people to support the theater, say, try to imagine Washington Street, downtown Iowa City without the Englert. And that was a really visceral feeling for people. They were like, oh my gosh, like that would, they were just like that big empty building and all of that energy and excitement and opportunities to learn and like, oh, like it doesn't feel good to think about that. And what the pandemic did is it actually, like, I mean, even though we kept really active and we had like really awesome digital programming, you know, just pushed really hard to like make sure we kept people engaged, we still didn't have like the physical gathering and that experience together. And so it gave us just a little taste of that, mm-hmm. that dismay of that feeling of like what it would be without the Englert. So I think moving beyond the apocalyptic feelings of things, right? I really want to move everybody's attention to the possibilities, like the hope. Like what are we really doing here? I feel like everybody kind of got that nice existential crisis in their souls. And so like in this last year, like collectively, we all got to do that. And so like, what are we really doing here? What are we trying to do here? And, you know, for you, that might be going to see your favorite band, you know, but I think most people really truly are trying to experience new things, are trying to expand their horizons, and are trying to just like really, you know, live their lives to the fullest. So I think my big message to folks right now is, in whatever way you can support, if that's like buying some tickets as a gift to somebody, like that's awesome. A gift to yourself, please do, you know? And if that's, you know, joining at our $10 a month, that's amazing. And if you're somebody who has the capacity to learn more about helping to build this big, bright future, every one of those things I just described is going to help do that. But we're going to get there bigger and better and faster with that big support of our fellowship program. So it's an exciting time.
Right on. Right on. Well, it was nice getting jacked up with you, Katie. I feel like this happens every time we talk. I'm like, yes, arts community, let's go.
They can't see us. You and I are both lifting some serious weights right now, this entire episode. Like, I've been pumping irons. Irons? I've been pumping irons.
Well, thank you again. Appreciate you. And can't wait to see what you do.
I just appreciate being on. And it's okay. This is like our end of the year check-in. I'll see you again in November, December of 2022.
Our song of the week comes from the Englert's own Ionis Alexicus, a.k.a. the only Ion. Anyone who knows Ionis knows that he absolutely does it all. He's an instrumentalist, composer, sound engineer, producer, singer, rapper, and all of that really comes through on this track. It's currently unreleased, but you can catch some of Yanni's other previous work on Bandcamp. Here it is, Bang Bang by The Only Ion.
He shot me down, bang bang, I hit the ground, bang bang, that awful sound, bang bang, my baby shot me down. My intentions, betrayal is thought, and it's only ever made.
educate your leadership to be driven by your tribe. I go bang, she go bang, my baby bang, she so bang, bang. And I dip into the paradise, stuck inside the medium, cleaning up the local spots. Yeah, boy, swear more like a sandbox, entertaining more this ornery height to fight you fair enough. Baby, some honest eye at random, and that's the way she sang all night long. I'll go crazy, goes away. What goes wrong will come around. Listen to the rules, we stop.
Support for this podcast comes from Friends of the Englert. To learn more, visit englert.org/friends. Ongoing support provided by the National Endowment for the Arts and the Iowa Arts Council, a division of the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the United States Regional Arts Resilience Fund. Phase 1 is an initiative of Arts Midwest and its peer United States Regional Arts Organizations, made possible by the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation.